It's Friday, and as always, we're looking ahead to the weekend here on the Monocle Arts Review and anticipating what we might want to see at the cinema. Joining me in the studio today is film critic Karen Krzanowicz, who's armed with a trio of movies that might tickle your fancy. We'll be exploring the life of the infamous photographer Robert Mapplethorpe in a new documentary that lifts the lid on the controversial artist. Then we're in for an action-adventure double act with the Western Jane Got a Gun and spy drama Bastide. That's all ahead on today's Monocle Arts Review with me, Jillian Tobias. Karen Krzanowicz, welcome to the programme. Now, our first film today is a new documentary that depicts the life of American photographer Robert Mapplethorpe, famous for his images that played with sexuality and erotica. Before we talk about the film, let's hear a clip of from the documentary Mapplethorpe, Look at the Pictures.
He loved to get a jolt out of people, a reaction. It was power. Just the way he dressed, the way he carried himself. The artist encompassed him.
I always was fascinated with the idea of taking sexuality and bringing it to a level that it hadn't been to before.
There was tension. My father wouldn't look at Robert.
He was really not part of the family.
He was so busy being Robert Mapplethorpe to really care.
Everything was the means to an end to his career.
He was a new type of art.
A clip from the new documentary, Mapplethorpe, Look at the Pictures. Karen, where do we start? It's such an interesting documentary. First of all, I suppose we have to ask the question, why did it take so long to bring his story to the screen?
That's a very good question. I mean, people have thought about it and tried, but it wasn't until HBO approached World of Wonder, which is Fenton Bailey and Randy Barbato, to do this. Now, they're grounded in reality television, but a slightly different reality television to previous sort of RuPaul's Drag Race, etc. A very, very good long history. In order to get them to really delve into this, now it took them 2 years to make this film. The film was originally 3 hours long, and editing it was nightmarish. But they found not only did they talk to a lot of people that worked with Mapplethorpe and his relatives, but they also have audio tapes as well, which we hear a lot of extra time. Why did it take so long? Well, basically, I think it's because despite the fact a lot of people will look at these pictures and say, oh, they're very dated, you know, some of them are very, you know, 80s, very 70s, his images are still able to provoke and shock. And I think that's why. There's a feature film coming up soon. I mean, and World of Wonder doesn't have anything to do with it. But I think it's still very controversial what he does.
We all know the name Mapplethorpe. But actually, as I was entering the cinema, I thought, I don't really know that much about him. For our listeners out there, why was he such a controversial figure? Why did he sort of break barriers in the art market at the time? What was quite so unique about him?
Well, it's complicated. If you know the background of 1970s, 80s New York City, for example, I did a Q&A last night with the filmmakers, and Randy Barbato was saying that they were living there at the time, sort of parallel careers, and that uptown New York and downtown New York never really came together until Studio 54 started kicking in. And he was very much of that time when the uptown people would start going downtown, and let me say the other way around actually, but the changing demographic of what was hip and what was chic, and all the artists moved to where it was cheaper to live, and that happens here as well in every city. He was a suburban lad that studied art. That
Catholic boy.
Catholic, very Catholic. His brother was also a photographer, who was driven to be famous, driven. And as Fenton Bailey said last night, he said there were other photographers that dealt with homosexuality, sexuality, imagery in the way that Mapplethorpe did. But Mapplethorpe, forgive me, I just keep doing it wrong, but nobody pushed, nobody marketed, nobody devoted their entire lives to it the way Mapplethorpe did.
The documentary starts with a kind of news archive clip of the, I think it's the North Carolina Republican senator, bombasting them, just saying, look at the pictures, which is, of course, is the subtitle of the documentary. And these filmmakers do make you look long at these pictures.
They really do. In fact, I asked them last night, where did you get this title from? It's amazing. They said they got it from Jesse Helms, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But they said that even when they first saw, with the crew, when they first saw the X-rated pictures from Mapplethorpe, and those are covered up boxes, that the crew needed a break. It was so intense. And it's wonderful. There's some wonderful quotes where Mapplethorpe said something about, you know, S&M, he stands for sex and magic, you know.
Yeah.
And so he really had this sense of the magicness of sexuality as in capturing a moment in much the way that photography did. And when he was working, photography wasn't the art form we consider it now. So he really helped push it into a new stratum.
I saw it at the Curzon Mayfair the other night with the biggest screen possible. And some of the pictures, I wouldn't say they're shocking, but they're so explicit. And I thought what I found fascinating is how, you know, certainly at the beginning and the end, we see these curators from the Getty handling his photographs with white gloves.
Yes, yes.
And there's something very ironic about the kind of almost like the crudeness of the subject matter. And then with these little, the delicacy with which they're touching them.
Actually, we were talking about that last night about the people going, and the line of the whip guides the line of the eye. And you're thinking, this is a man that, you know, is posing with, he's naked with a whip, you know, and
placed somewhere
on his person. And we were saying it. I said I was waiting for the curators to say something really crude. But of course, these are academics and they're serious people and they're deconstructing what they see in reference to what has come before it and what has come after it. And in fact, you know, that sort of thing is very important to legitimize Mapplethorpe's work as if it needs it. But there's also a lot of humor because he was around the same time Madonna was around. And Madonna also made a sex book, which is pretty funny. But there's an image of an open fly with a large man with a man's large object hanging out, and that's funny.
Polyester suit.
It's very funny. Some people are shocked, and I think it's hilarious.
And there's humor with the interviews. I think the wonderful thing that there was obviously tremendous trust between the interviewee and the filmmaker, but also they keep rolling, and just the silence and the expressions.
Yeah. They get a lot of gestures. And actually, for the DVD extras, Fenton and Randy pointed out that when Robert's brother Edward tried to talk, now they were competitive photographers, he was an assistant in Robert's lab, whenever they tried to interview him, noises would happen. The phone would ring, airplanes would go over, doors would slam, and they said, even now Robert's getting
haunting
in the way of his brother's career.
Well, we could talk forever about this
it's
documentary.
Wonderful film.
I urge people to go and see it. It's interesting on so many different levels, especially the kind of beauty of the imagery. Mapplethorpe, Look at the Pictures, premiered at this year's Sundance Film Festival and is out in UK cinemas today. It will head to Sweden and Danish screens later this summer. From an eye-opening documentary, we trot swiftly along to the world of the Hollywood Western. Jane Got a Gun stars Natalie Portman as the defiant wife of a man who's crossed paths with the wrong gang. In order to save her family, she has to enlist the help of her former fiancé, played by Joel Edgerton, and thus trouble ensues.
You're fixing to make the very big jump, my friend.
I will kill you.
Got enough firepower here to start another war.
Let the sun shine on your story.
Not much sun in my story.
I may be an outlaw, but I don't kill little children.
Where is my daughter?
Yeah, but Jane, if I tell you that, what am I left with?
Where is my child?
A little audio sampler there from Jane Got a Gun. Now, we've seen plenty of revivals of Westerns recently. Is this a good addition to the genre?
This is an interesting addition. And it's actually more interesting in what it could have been as opposed to what it's ended up being. Originally, Natalie Portman, she's always said she wanted to produce, had announced that she was going to star and produce in Jane Got a Gun with Lynn Ramsey directing. Now, with the first day of shooting, Lynn Ramsey walked off the set, took a lot of cast and crew with her. Yeah, and then there was a problem with the distributor, and then there's a problem with the rights. So this has been a very difficult birth, this film, and it ended up with a completely different director, generally relatively different cast, and with Joe Edgerton having a co-writing credit. So it wasn't the complete revisionist feminist Western that we wanted, where we were going to have a woman that was as rough and tough as Clint Eastwood. Mm. This didn't happen. But it is an interesting story. And Natalie Portman did carry on with producing it, which is great. And it looks amazing. The cinematography is wonderful. And it's quite a pleasing story, but it's a little stodgy here and there. And I think we had such hopes for it that the fact that it's actually okay, it's actually good, I suppose it's good in parts, is a bit disappointing. But that said, it's worth seeing for a lot of different reasons. For example, Ewan McGregor with dyed black hair and black mustache and possibly
so
a goatee.
So unrecognizable. I had to keep going there and back and
yes.
trying to say, who
as
who
Bishop,
he
he's so evil. And basically all of Hoxton as his gang of evil people with sort of, you know, they all have, I don't know who's doing their hair, but they're certainly, it's certainly anachronistic. You know, it's like really modern. These bad guys could just walk down the street and they'd look great.
It seems a little bit like a story that's been told before, but then is that why people go to Westerns?
Yeah, I mean, Westerns are very formulaic. I mean, Star Trek's a Western, and they say Star Wars is a Western as well. But this is about a woman who has had done things that she would have wished that she hadn't have done to survive, where she loses her daughter. Her daughter is killed, and she has another child by an outlaw. And then her ex, who went away to the Civil War, Joel Edgerton, comes back to help her save her criminal husband. It's quite complicated. But then all sorts of things start changing and moving around. And what you think is true is not true.
So head to the cinemas. Jane Got a Gun has been rolling out in cinemas throughout the year. It hits UK cinemas today and Spain early May. We're going to end with a new action film by James Watkins called Bastide. Here, a CIA agent played by Idris Elba teams up with a young pickpocket on an anti-terrorist mission in France. Let's hear a clip.
I'm a pickpocket. I stole the bag, but I didn't know there was a bomb in it.
But you ran. Innocent people do not run.
You were coming after me. Have you seen yourself?
Must be really good.
I'm the best.
Walk up to me and steal my wallet. Still there.
But the money's gone.
A little excerpt from the trailer for the movie Bastide. Now, Karen, this sounds like a textbook action movie. Were you pleasantly surprised?
Yeah, it is, really. I mean, I love these kind of things. It reminds me of a couple weeks ago where there was The Sweeney Paris, which was a wonderful French policier, which is very formulaic, and I loved it anyway. So this is, and also it's got Idris Elba in it. You can't not watch him. He's amazing. And we're all saying, oh, this is his run-up to Bond. Well, it's not vintage, you know, it's good. I mean, he's always good. But what's interesting is the fact that we've got Game of Thrones' Richard Madden is sort of like, I'm just a pickpocket. I'm really sorry. And it reminds me of Bill Hicks doing the Shane imitation. Anyway, that's a very old reference. But it's where the pickpocket teams up with the, of course, not by the rules cop to try and track down terrorists. And it's fun. It's got some wonderful stunts. It's got lovely pacing. And you get to watch Idris Elba break the rule book. It's always
good. How wonderful.
Good.
And the filmmakers, what's their background?
The director is James Watkins, and he's done A Woman in Black and mm-hmm. other things. But what's really important about Bastide, if you're American, it's Bastille Day, is Andrew Baldwin, who is not one of the Baldwin brothers, as far as I know, but is actually writing the new Bourne screenplay. So that's this he must have written. This one, because this one's been around for a while, just getting released now, and I think they liked it in Hollywood.
And did this have a big wackadoo budget?
No, I don't think it did. I think it has an okay budget. And okay budgets are very difficult to try and market and sell. But when you've got Idris, I think you've got bums on seats.
Well, if you're tempted, Bastille Day is out in Singapore, the UK, Ireland and Sweden as of this moment. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest, Karen Krasanovich. Don't forget to tune into the cinema show later on today at 2000 hours London time, when we'll be reporting from this year's Tribeca Film Festival and we'll have interviews with film directors Joachim Trier and Miguel Gomez. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time on Monday when Kathleen Fox-Davis will talk us through the week in art. But for now, goodbye from me and thanks very much for listening.